Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, and as you guys are turning there, I'm going to read the first four verses, and then we're going to pray. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Thank you, Lord, so much for your word that is so practical, God, your instruction on how we're to be as parents, how we're to be as children, God, how we're to be as employers and employees, and even in dealing with the spiritual realm, God, the things we're going to be seeing in Ephesians chapter 6 over the next few weeks. And God, I pray now that as we focus in today on children and the authority structure for children, the relationship with parents, God, I pray you would open your word to us. And God, I pray you'd minister to the parents in here in this room. I pray, God, that anything we cover, God, we know that we fail so much as parents. We know we have failed so much. But God, I pray you'd have mercy on us and help us not to feel condemned at your word correcting us and directing us, but to be encouraged. And God, for those of us that now have the opportunity to invest in our grandkids or maybe brand new little ones that we can pour into, let this be an instructional, practical look, Lord, into your word as to how we're to do it as parents. So God, bless our time together, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Ephesians chapter 6 is a very practical chapter in the Bible. It's going to be looking at very practical ways that we as parents and as children, and all of us are children, our parents may be dead, they may have gone on, but all of us are either children for a fact, we are children, that's indisputable, but also many of us are parents, and again, it's going to show us how do we interact as parents and as children in God's authority structure. And then we're going to see next week how we interact with God's authority structure with employers and employees. And then the next week, we're going to see how we interact with God's authority structure in the spiritual realm. And so notice this pattern here that God is doing starting in Ephesians chapter 5 and working all the way through to the end of Ephesians 6. God is saying, look, I am the one that have established the authority structures in the world. I've given of an authority structure for husbands and wives, for children and parents, for offices and employees and jobs and those kind of things, even to the spiritual realm. So the same pattern is going to be seen all the way to the end of now the book of Ephesus. Or Ephesians, rather, there in Ephesus. And so, again, if our job is to understand how to come under those God-given authorities. And I'll tell you this, if you learn to come under your God-given authorities, your life is going to go well. It doesn't mean that your God-given authorities are always righteous. It doesn't mean that your God-given authorities are even always right. What it means is God has given us these God-given authorities, and if we'll learn to come under those God-given authorities, it will go well with us in life. And as we'll see as we get into this today, sometimes if there are God-given authorities that lead us the wrong way or away from God's word, that is where we say no and we don't do it. So there is a time that we do not do what our God-given authorities have told us, but that's usually not the case. The general guideline that God gives us is as the authorities lead us, we're to come under those authorities and see that authority structure. So now we jump into, again, children and parents, and that's going to be our focus today. There's a lot in these four verses. Notice here in chapter 6, verse 1. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." If you're an underliner, that's a good one. "For this is right." Now, there's a lot here to look at in this very first verse, although it's not long. Paul speaks again right off the bat to children and tells them to obey their parents. Notice he tells them two things: obey your parents and obey your parents in the Lord. And so Paul's going to begin to give some very clear directives as to what we're to do as children to our parents and with our children as parents. And so the first thing here again, the command comes with these directives. First, we obey them. We come under that authority. We obey our parents. Now, again, those of us that are older and have our parents and we're grown and have our own families, there's a little bit difference of an application there. We don't obey them like we did as children at home. But children are to obey us as the parents in our home. And the Lord said, the reason you're to do that is so it will go well with you. Again, for those that obey, as they're led by the God-given authorities, God blesses. And God even gives, again, a promise here. He says, with that obedience comes long life. It comes from, again, the Old Testament, where God says, for those who obey their parents, it comes with a promise. But notice when he says to obey the parents, the second directive that he gives here is it's got to be what? In the Lord. He says, obey your parents in the Lord. That is, you come under, and this is not some excuse to get out from under obeying your parents. You know, you've asked me to clean my room and I can't find that in the Bible. No, you obey your parents in general in life. And what he's saying is, as long as they don't ask you to go against the word of God, come under them. follow their leadership. And that's what he's saying to do. So we obey them. We come under their leadership. And again, why do we do this? He says, because it is right. That is, it is proper before God. God has given the proper boundaries. God has given us the proper authorities. And so God now gives us instruction as to how we're to interact with parents and children. And as a child, how we interact with our parents in our families. And so again, Paul gives these instructions, notice this, directly to the children, because oftentimes parents aren't being obedient to the Lord. And so by Paul giving this direction or saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord, it's also built into, even if your parents aren't obeying the Lord, you need to do the right thing before God. Again, staying within the guidelines of God's word, as we talked about, but it doesn't mean just because your mom and dad aren't obeying the Lord that you don't need to be obeying what I've called you to do with your parents. And notice, this is that same authority principle that we talked about with husbands and wives. Again, for wives, if your husband is not being the man he's supposed to be, you still are to be the wife you're supposed to be. And vice versa. Again, husbands, if your wife's not being the wife she's supposed to be, you're still supposed to be the husband that you're supposed to be. So he's saying the same thing here. Regardless of what each is doing, you do what's right before God. You know, a child can't say, well, mom and dad aren't walking with God, so I'm not going to. No. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You do what I've asked you to do regardless. And why so? Because it is right. And it is the way that God has designed it, and God will bless in the midst of us being obedient to the things that God asks us to do. And so this is the right thing to do. And by the way, this is why you see such an attack by the enemy. And I speak, when I say that, I speak of Satan in the spiritual realm. He will attack children and their obedience to parents because he knows if he can get children to be rebellious and disobedient, he can not just cause disruption in the immediate home that that's happening in, but he can destroy the next generation. So understand, he's got a long-term goal. Get children to disobey their parents so that they can destroy not only their homes, but the next generation. And so we as Christians have got to say, no, we're not going to go along with that spirit. We're going to come under the authority of the Lord. We're going to do what God asks us to do. And regardless of what our parents do, we're going to do the right thing. And so again, we need to recognize the work of the enemy as he's doing this. Again, one of the things I've noticed, you know, when I was a kid, when things have changed here in the last, you know, 20 or so years, really more dramatically. But when I was a kid, there was never a discussion of children having rights. That never came up. You were a child. You didn't have rights. You were a child. Today, there's this big push. Well, kids have rights. They need to make their own decisions. Guys, that is nonsense. That is unbiblical. And it's nuts. They are children because they're children. God gave them parents because they need direction. They need leadership. Again, we now know even from modern studies, look, did you know that the brains don't even develop? Our brains don't develop in the reasoning capacity to full capacity until our 20s. Again, now for women, it happens a little bit sooner, and you ladies can recognize that and just looking around at the guys. There's different parts of your brain that come together and they grow together. The reasoning grows together for men at about 25. For women, it's a couple years sooner than that, about 23 or so. But for men, the reasoning capacity grows together at about 25. Now, it doesn't mean they're not adults already. It doesn't mean they can't make decisions. What it means is, if we don't even get our full reasoning capacity until 25, why in the world are we talking about kids making their own decisions? Listen, children's decisions are only driven by emotions. They don't have an ability to reason. So because they're only driven by emotions and no ability even physiologically yet to make a reasoned decision, God gave them moms and dads to make those decisions for them. I want to encourage you, don't let the society and the culture intimidate you. Don't be afraid to be a mom and a dad. Stand up and be a mom and a dad. It's interesting, you know, it's like, don't go in my room. Whose room? How much did you pay for that room? Nothing. That's my room. I'll go in my room anytime I want. I'll go through my drawers that I bought for you anytime I want. And I'll see what my child is doing anytime I want. Not only there, but in your games, on the internet, in your phone, and everywhere else. Because you can't think yet, and God gave you a parent. And I'm the parent to think for you. Bottom line. Bottom line. Again, don't be intimidated by that. God has given you that position and put you in that region. Well, you can't choose my friends. Oh, yes, I can, because you're not smart enough yet to do it. You cannot be friends with them. You cannot be friends with them. You cannot be friends with them. He's okay. She's okay. No, you know? Don't be afraid to be a parent. Remember, they cannot even reason yet. Their emotions are controlled. Now, I don't expect the world to understand that. The world's not going to get that, but we're not playing the world's game. This is the church. This is within the church. And I want to encourage you to be moms and dads. Don't be afraid of moms and dads. And by the way, listen, you need to protect your kids, because I'm telling you, through the internet and through cell phones, guys, right now our kids are being destroyed. And moms and dads, we've got to wake up. We need to be very involved at what they're doing online. We need to know what, listen, first of all, I'd be very cautious about what age you even consider a cell phone. And number two, you got to listen, why do I say this? It's mostly through the cell phones is what research is showing now, and the internet. We have our children now being getting into pornography and being trapped in pornography starting at 8 years old. 8 years, not my child. You know, you may be surprised. How much do you know what's on the internet for them? How much do you know what's going on their phones? Should they even have a phone? Yes, we have to step up and not be afraid to be a parent. And guys, I'm going to say something else again, just to shoot straight forward here again, because again, I don't, you know, only you know and everybody knows, but also if the statistics are true, we've got a problem with pornography in the adults. So moms and dads first, we've got to get our act together. And that means we've got to clean up our act. Then we've got to put walls of protection around our little ones, because I'm telling you something, pornography scars for a lifetime. Those images, they take years and years and years to go away, and they're carried into marriage, and they cause marriage problems, and they cause problems after marriage, and it's very destructive. And we've got to take whatever action, first of all, to get ourselves free, and then we've got to make sure our kids are protected so they don't go into the trap that we were trapped in when we were little kids. We've got to guard them, guys. We've got to protect them. Listen, whatever radical action you've got to take to be free, and whatever radical action you need to do to protect your kids, I encourage you to do it. Jesus said this, if your right hand sins, cut it off. If your right eye sins, pluck it out. Again, we know he wasn't talking to truly do that physically. What he's saying is, whatever radical action you've got to take to stop this from happening in your life, take that radical action. It may mean shutting off the internet. It may mean no cell phone. It may mean putting blocks in place. It may mean getting rid of the video games. It could mean lots of different things. But the bottom line is, when I got saved, God said to me, Mark, you want to be free? Yes, I want to be free. Then you've got to stop all these avenues coming into your life. I had pipelines of all kinds of sin avenues coming into my life. And until I shut that valve off and stopped all these things from coming into my life, I had it all flowing in. I could pray all I want. Lord, set me free, set me free, set me free. If you keep filling up your tank with junk, how can I set you free? Shut off the junk, then I'll set you free. So it starts with us as moms and dads. And then it moves to our kids. And we need to take it seriously because it's ruining the next generation. Again, it's interesting. You know, I don't want to be too involved in my kids. Listen to what it says in kids' lives. Proverbs 29:15 says this, a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Don't let your child be left to themselves, your children. You need to be deeply involved in what's going on. And so children are to obey the parents. The parents are to be that protection and that covering. And look at verse 2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, we talked about this just a moment ago. This comes out of the Ten Commandments. And again, it comes with a promise. Honor your father and mother. It may be well with you. Why? Because as we obey our mom and dad, we're coming under the God-given authority structure, and so our life will be blessed. God can pour blessings into our life. God can minister to us in that way, and so we can walk in the blessing of the Lord. Our life's going to go better. It's those that fight against authorities that their life goes so south. It's the struggle that people have because they're not coming under the authorities. And if we'll simply come under the God-given authorities, we're going to be blessed. You know, the Bible says that God doesn't have the authorities bear the sword in vain. If we do what we're supposed to do, we're blessed. If we don't do what we're supposed to do, then we're cursed. And that goes with that. So it's understanding to follow these authorities, come under these authorities. And notice he says also, you're going to have a long life. Now, again, in general, yes, you will. The blessing of God is there and the promise is there. That doesn't mean that sometimes someone who's living godly and coming under authorities doesn't die at a younger age. The Lord knows when we're going to go into the kingdom, and sometimes God will take his kids earlier. But what he's saying is, as a society, it's going to be a blessing for you. It's going to be a blessing for your society if you come under authority, and God's going to bless you in longevity of life as well as in just general blessing of life. Now, so what if mom and dad are not honor worthy? We have the same issue come up with husbands and wives. Wives, you say, what if I'm supposed to, again, follow my husband's leadership, but what if he's just horrible? Or husbands, I want to love my wife, but she's not very loving or whatever. We don't do it because of what the other person is or is not doing. We do it because God asked us to do it. This is an issue between us and our God. We love our wives because God asked us to. The wives come under the husband because God asked them to. The kids obey their parents because God asked them to. So we honor our parents now because God asked us to. So now comes the struggle for those of you that have parents that maybe were not honor worthy. Maybe you were abused growing up. Maybe they were physically abusive. Maybe broken bones, a busted eye. Maybe sexually abused you. Horrible things maybe really happened in your life. And with this many people, chances are that may have happened to someone, maybe more than one in this room. How do you honor a parent like that? He's not saying you talk about how great they are. He's not saying you hang out with them and do things with them if you're afraid of them or they've hurt you so deeply that you can't even approach them. He's not saying that. What he's saying is honor them. So how do I do that? Okay, here's how. Just basic honor for the Lord's sake. On their birthday, send them a card. Their anniversary, send them a card. Do things in general life. At Christmas, send them a present. Well, they're not worthy of it. Don't do it for them. You're doing this for the Lord. And God may even use your testimony as you minister to them to bring them to repentance. Because they know what they did. And if you're showing them honor when they know what they did, listen, sometimes the hardest of hearts can break at that kind of tenderness. So again, it's simply saying, okay, you know, you need something at your house. Something fell over. I can't move it. You run by, you help them pick it back up. You just basic things that you do. You know, you don't tear them down in front of others. You take care of them when they're old. Well, they didn't take care of me. You don't do it for them. You do it because God asked you to. And you do it because you're going to honor him. And then when people see you doing that, hey, didn't your dad sexually abuse you when you were a kid? Yeah. And you're helping take care of him financially and other things? Yeah. Why? He should suffer. He's got a lot worse to face when he stands before God than anything I could ever do. But I just need to do what God's asked me to do and to show honor. So I'm going to show honor to his position, even though I can't show honor to him specifically. I'll let God handle the rest. Because if you do that, God will bless you. And God will bless that. And you'll be so different than the rest of the world. You're going to stand out. And people, God will use that to bring people in the kingdom and maybe even the parent that was abusive. And he says, do this that it may be well and you live long on the earth. Look at verse 4. This is where we'll spend the rest of our time today. There's a lot to cover here. He says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, first admonition, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. I said, we're going to camp here a while. There's a lot to talk about and give some practical ways that you can do this, to train your children up, that you could admonish your children and again, not provoke them to wrath. Notice Paul warns fathers, first of all here, he says, in dealing with your children, do not provoke them to wrath, but rather train them and admonish them. That is, don't do things that will cause anger in them or frustration in them, but do things that will train them and teach them and be gracious. Help them to have goals that are reachable, things that are attainable. Don't be overbearing. Work with them so they're not frustrated and provoked. And it's interesting, he says this to the men. He doesn't say it to the women, although the women can also have that propensity. What God is saying to men is we have a propensity because we're the man to, we're going to make this happen. And again, there's a sense of being that man and running our home that needs to be there. But we also need to realize we need to be gracious. And God knows we have testosterone that's also pushing the man in a different ways as far as being, you know, more manly and that kind of stuff. There's a physiological thing to that. And so the bottom line is make sure dads, when you're dealing with your kids, you're dealing with them in a way that is gracious and not leading them to anger and not provoking them to frustration, but encouraging them and instructing them in the right way to go and then how to go in the right way. Taking that time to do that. What are some ways we can do that as the father of the home? Listen to your kids. They want to talk, listen to them. Give them time. I think one of the biggest struggles in our culture today is dads not giving kids time. It's interesting. I know when our kids were little and I'd be in the office and I have an office at home. I'd have one at the church and at home. I still got that now. But when I was at home and again, be studying there in the office at home, and I've got four girls and they didn't come in all at one time to talk to dad. They would come in one after another. And I'm trying to get ready for the teaching and I'm studying whatever. And one comes in. It's like, okay, honey. Yeah. What is it? Well, okay, good. Oh, I got that number. I go back and then dad, can I ask you something? Okay, honey. By the time I get the fourth one, I'm getting frustrated. I'm thinking, how can I be ready? And I'm getting kind of flustered and all that. And God spoke to my heart and said, give them the time they need as their dad. I'll take care of the teaching. And you know, when I did that, God would anoint the teaching. Even sometimes if something happened right before church and they needed me and I couldn't prepare like I wanted, sometimes those were the most anointed teachings. I was, you know, that's amazing, God. Because I want you to understand there's priorities. Give them that time. And I found that if I would just give them that time and spend that time as they would come in, again, that it would minister to them and I was being a dad to them. So whatever your situation is, be a dad. Whether you come home tired or not, listen to them. See what their concerns are. They need that fatherly leadership as well as they need the female leadership as well. another huge area, and I want to hit some practical areas for you. Not that I'm some expert, I'm not, but I did have four girls, and now they're all gone. I've learned something. I messed up a lot, and I've learned probably more from my mistakes than things I did right. But another thing, when it comes to discipline, you want to make sure that you discipline with a proper explanation. Don't just discipline without an explanation. They don't know what's going on. Then you say, why am I being disciplined? What happened here? Explain that to them. Also in discipline, make sure that it's not disproportionate to the offense. They do something, make sure that it's a reasoned, thought out discipline that you're doing. Also not only blaming them and never praising them. Make sure that it's not just you always do this, you always do that. Let them know when they do good. Honey, I'm proud of you. That was a good job there. You did a great job. And maybe like me when I was a kid, they did always do things wrong. But at the same time, having that word of, hey, this is one you did right, that's encouraging. And just having that word of, you know what, I did something right for once, that builds a child up. So make sure you have a balance here of, yeah, you know, we can't be doing that, but you did a good job here. Make sure you don't show a favoritism to other siblings. Kids recognize that. You know, why do they get away with that and I don't get away with that? Why does this happen for them and not for me? They recognize that. I remember, again, Dad, it was so much. I had two brothers. There were three boys and one girl as far as the kids in our family. And boys are more concerned about food than the girls are. Karen was fine. Food, you know, yep, she had to have it. She had to live. But for us, it's like, hey, the fight's on. Game on. You know, and so when Dad would bring out ice cream, we'd have these, you know, these half things, you know, the carton of half of ice cream, and it came for the family. He literally, because we'd fight over his, you know, they got more than I did. He literally had to start cutting them in blocks. He put this measure in there. He cut them in blocks and block it out. Boom. Yeah, there's your block. There's your, his block's more than mine. No, his block's not more than yours. And if you thought something was being done wrong, then you feel like you're being left out. Again, I'm not saying you need to, you know, do that kind of stuff. The point is, make sure they realize they're being treated the same. Because kids recognize that. They know it. Here's another thing, dads. Keep your word. If you tell them, hey, we're going to go to the park on Friday, go to the park on Friday. Don't just say it to get out of a situation. Mean it. And then if something comes up where, hey, I forgot about the funeral, so we have some family friends that they asked if we come and be a support. We got to go to that. Honey, I can't do it. I've got this. I totally forgot. Your kids are going to understand that if you're generally doing the right thing most of the time, or you know, all the other times. And they're going to go, I understand that. But then reschedule it for them. These are ways that we as dads can keep from provoking them. Be gracious with them. Again, and when it comes to training them, this is another way we can protect from provoking. The training, when it says to train them up, it's the word discipline. And this is huge here because children need boundaries. They need correction to find the right path, but it's got to be done in love. Got to do it in love. And guys, this is what I encourage you to do. We had some counsel as young parents that paid off heavily for us. Like I said, we made a lot of mistakes. I don't want to present something that it's not. But because we had some templates to use, it really helped us. I encourage you, set up a template for how you're going to discipline your children. And what do I mean by that? We literally wrote it out on a piece of paper, okay? If they do this, here's the consequence. They do that. And you can't list everything, but you have an idea of how you're going to be doing it. You put it out there. You have your boundaries. You know how you're going to be treating everything, and it makes it consistent and fair. And no matter what form of discipline that you use, you find out you can set a limit and a purpose for it. And so you know, like, listen, there are multiple disciplines that are out there. And we have to make sure before we employ those disciplines, and we'll talk about those in a moment, reacting out of emotion is never going to be the way to do it. If we wait until we just blow up, we have that one kid that pushes the button and we kind of go off the deep end. Now we're reacting rather than having a plan in advance. And whenever there's just emotion involved, it's not going to be good. And I encourage you, moms and dads, if you ever find yourself and you just, oh, I can't believe they did that, just take a breather before you do the discipline. Take a walk. Take a deep breath. Pray for a minute. Say, God, help me to do this not out of emotion. I'm really upset right now, you know, but help me to handle this the right way. And so calm down first so you don't deal in emotion. Also recognize their age and what they understand and don't understand. I mean, look, you know that a goldfish can't live in a toilet bowl, but they think it's cute. First, try to save the goldfish. And then decide, now, how are we going to move forward? How are we going to do this? And so there's so many things that needs to come into play, but I think that if you make plans in advance, the bottom line is, guys, I encourage you as parents, if you haven't done this, sit down and make out a plan. Here's how we're going to discipline the kids, and here's going to be our limits on it. And you guys have got to agree, because if mom and dad don't agree, they're going to run back and forth between both of you playing the game, and they're going to get what they want. You guys don't know, here's what we're going to do, and here's how we're going to do it. Now, when it comes to discipline, there are many different ways. Time out, that can work with some kids. You can't ride your bike today. That'll work with some kids. We had one that nothing worked with her until we took the dessert away. Once dessert was gone, life was over. Life's over. And so it was a great form of discipline. But again, I want you guys also to know this. There's a great attack against one of the other forms of discipline that is very biblical and God gave us. And I'm going to give this balance. And people were intimidated. And that is spanking. That is a biblical form of discipline that God has given us. And for some of you that maybe came in a family where it wasn't used the right way, that's going to be more of a difficult thing to look at. God will lead you in the discipline for your children. All children are dealt with in different ways. They respond to different things. But you've got to understand, spanking is not child abuse. And people try to present that as child abuse. Child abuse is child abuse. And we all recognize it. If kids are getting burned with cigarettes, if they've got broken bones, if they're beating them on the head and all over the body, and says, listen, you can recognize child abuse. But God has designed a child's body with this great little padded area with the proper care and planning in advance. You can implement a certain level of pain and affliction that will get their attention. And we sat in and said, all right, what are we going to use? Because we don't want something that will hurt them. Something maybe flexible. You decide what instrument will be used. How many will they get depending on what they do so you don't overdo it. You set up boundaries, you set up guidelines, but you use what God has given, and all of these incorporate all the different forms of discipline depending on what your child needs. But God knows that there needs to be a form of discipline to drive these things out of a child's heart, because children have something, they have foolishness bound up in their hearts. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 13:24. It says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Now, why would there be a hatred there? Paul's going to talk later about, listen, discipline can determine a child's eternal state of salvation. Because if we don't discipline while there's still hope, then they're going to go down the wrong path and they'd be lost forever. One of the most wonderful things you can do for your child is bring discipline into their life and to look at all the forms of discipline that God has given for them. There'd be people that say, well, if you spank, you don't love them, or spanking is a wrong form of discipline. God says, look, there's a time it's needed. And for some kids, if you don't do it, it's actually hating them. It's not loving them, because they need something to drive this out of their heart. They need that correction. Listen to what it says again, Proverbs 19:18. It says, chasten your son while there's hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. That is, if you're going to discipline, well, you need to discipline, make sure you do it while they're still young. Because if you don't discipline while they're young and they get older, it's going to be harder to change things. You know, 17 or 18-year-old, that's not the time to start spanking. It's not going to work. It's probably going to end up in a fist fight and something with police and all kinds of ugliness. At that point, it's like it is what it is. But if you get them when they're little and mold their little hearts, that's when you have the son and the daughter that's going to obey you and love you. Proverbs 22:15 says this, and here's why we bring discipline in. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. That is, they're born with a sin nature. They're born with foolishness in there. Anybody notice that? But the rod of correction will drive it far from them. Okay, notice this. It's a proper discipline in love. Again, Proverbs 23:13-14 says, and this is the one, again, before I even read this, guys, it's not translated well. So let me explain this when I read it. I'm reading the New King James Version. It's not really the best translation. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Rods are flexible. He's saying if you give him a spank, would be the way we'd say it today. It's not a beating like we think of. I don't think it's a good translation here. The word doesn't mean that. It simply means bringing in discipline that causes a sting to the backside, gets their attention, and wakes them up and says, I don't want to go down this path. I want to go a different direction. And he says, this will actually, again, drive the foolishness out. And it says that he will not die. This is where you see that it's an eternal issue, a salvation issue. You will deliver his soul from hell. So he's saying, you've got to lead them down the right path. I remember one parent coming to me saying one time, well, I don't tell my kids what to do. I don't want to direct them. I want them to make their own decisions. Never do that. Again, as we talked about, they need a parent to direct them in the right way they can go. Again, train them up in the way they'll go, and they won't depart when they're older. If they choose to reject that, that's their choice. But our job is to lead them down the right path so that they can have a chance. And again, it may even have to do with the saving of their soul. And again, I think this is why you see so much opposition from this. Oftentimes when it comes to the spanking issue, I think this is why Satan attacks this issue so much. And you see it becoming an issue in society because Satan knows that this is one of God's main prescribed ways to send kids the right direction and lead them into salvation. So if you can remove that, that's part of the victory right there. Take that away, you've already won a big part of it. Now again, we all know in proper balance and in love, as we've talked about in the study. So again, God will lead in that. Seek the Lord. set up guidelines. That's why I want you to discuss all this in advance. Talk about it. Set your boundaries so you know what you're going to do. And that way you hold each other accountable as husband and wife, as mom and dad. And so it's a good thing to do. It's not something that's an emotional decision at the moment. It's pre-planned. The kids know it. They see you're consistent. They know that it's fair. And then you love them afterwards and they recognize, all right, they love me. And that brings us again here to the last part, and that's admonition, where we finish today. The training is the discipline. The admonition is the good part. You don't just want to discipline. You want to encourage. You want to build them up. You want to send them the right way. And so listen to what the Bible says. And this is not just for parents. This is for grandparents. It's a process that keeps going. Deuteronomy 4, 9 through 10. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And that is the word of God. And teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Papas and Mimis in here, you're not done. You got little ones. And yeah, they're fun. They're just great. They come over, you have a blast with them. But listen, he's going to say, invest in them as well. This is your children and your grandchildren. What do you invest in them? Notice the word of God. He says, especially concerning the day that you stood before the Lord God in Horeb. That's when the word of God was given to them. When the Lord said to me, that is Moses, gather the people to me and I'll let them hear my words, the words of God, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. So he said, don't just teach your children the word of God, teach your grandchildren the word of God. I encourage you, moms and dads. Dads, I encourage you. Do a devotion with your kids. Go through the Bible with them. You don't have to be a Bible teacher. I've never gone through the Bible myself. What a great time to start. Go through the Word. Read it. Figure it out the day before and that night. Just read it at their level. Just whatever. Just read it, if nothing else. And for me, we used to act it out. I mean, I had to be the Philistine, you know, and they would come, kill the Philistine. I got chest, you know, knees in my chest from the other end of the hall. Ah! It was like brutal. But they're just little girls. How brutal could it be? But they remember this. They live it out. Talk to them. Share it with them. Go through what they can get through the Bible. Invest in them. And then when you get the grandkids, look, yes, I know you want to play with them. I know you. Can they come over there at my house today waiting? I know that. And I can't wait to get back. And we're going to have so much fun together. But I try my best now to look for opportunities to invest in them. I'll hold the littlest one now and I'll just tell him, Papa loves you and Jesus loves you. And I'll see that little smile just come on his face. Just planting the fact that Jesus loves him in his heart, getting this started. You know, hey, read me a book, Papa. Yeah, here's the kid's Bible. Let's do it. You know, and we do it, whatever. Just look for opportunities to invest in them. And how do I do that? Well, notice what he says in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. He gives us a way to do this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Here it is. You shall teach them diligently. Notice this, it takes effort. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. He's saying, in every form of life, be sharing the things of God. And so even with my kids and now my grandkids, if we're walking, well, look at that sunset. Jesus made that for you. He made that so we could see it right now. He made the whole universe, the stars, the moon, the sun. He makes the colors the way he did it so you could enjoy that. They're like, wow. Let them be aware of God's power. God, these whatever you see, the animals, talk about God. And when you're sitting in the house, share the word. Just anything you're saying when you're sitting around talking, they jump on the bed and they're giggling and you share something about the Lord or whatever the case. He's saying in every area of life, share the things of God with them. Just build it into your normal life so you can train them up in the way they should go. Look at verse 8. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. That is, the word of God should just always be right there before you, just sharing with them and talking about it so they can live it out and be a part of it, investing in them. And why do we do this? Again, because notice what it says. Again, we've mentioned it already, but in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So again, we encourage them, we admonish them, we minister to them in this, and God says, you know what? They may choose to veer off, but if you plant the word of God in their little hearts, it's always going to be there. And that means it can always come back and draw them back and pull them back to the things of God. And God's not going to force any of our kids in the kingdom, but we can invest as much seed in their little hearts as we can with the word of God and water it and pray for them and watch God work and then let God work. Now, as we finish up, there's a couple things I want to do. Number one, I want to encourage you, if you feel like a failure as a parent, join the club. We've all failed. There's not a parent in here that hasn't failed in some form and fashion as a parent. I know I have. And I know you have too. We can't go back and change that. We can ask our kids forgiveness, which I've done, but we can't go back and change where we messed up, but we can start right now. Right now, moms and dads, wherever you are with your kids, you can start right now and set a new course. You'll still mess up again, but you start right now setting a right course. Grandparents, you can now start getting involved in grandkids and investing in them and the things of the kingdom as well. And I want to pray for us that we would do that. I want to pray for healing of those that in here that maybe have been through a past where they wish they could change that. And just for God's grace in us, again, just being the parents God wants us to be, being the kids God wants us to be, and for healing of the spirit, depending on whatever we've been through in that relationship. Because I know there are all kinds of different emotions and feelings in the room. And God knows that as well. And God will minister to you where you are, and he'll be faithful to encourage you. So I want to pray for you now as we finish up. Let's pray right now. Father, we've covered so much today. I thank you, Lord, for the instruction you give us as parents and as children and interaction. And just, Lord, your word is so wonderful in leading us. And we thank you for the practical things you show us and teach us. And Lord, I want to pray, first of all, for those in here maybe that had a very rough childhood. And even the thought of honoring their parents is something very difficult. God, I pray you'd help them to resolve in their heart that they're going to honor their parents for your sake. If not for their parents' sake, at least for yours. In nothing more maybe than a card or a present every so often, some way just to show that honor. And Lord, I know you'll take it from there. God, for those that now have little ones in the home or maybe grandkids, God, help us to be those who look for ways that we can invest in the next generation, that we can minister to them, Lord, as we walk along the way, as we sit in our house, as we live normal life. Jesus did this, and he did it for you, honey. Let them begin to see you in everything. All of life around us, your beauty, your glory, everything. And Father, for those that feel they've messed up again, just encourage them and strengthen them to realize that we've all messed up. That's what your blood is for. And now, God, help us to start from today, moving forward and saying, now we're going to course, set the right course in a right direction and do it the way your word tells us. So Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the ministry of your word. And God, help each and every parent in here not be afraid to be a parent, not to be afraid to be a mom and dad, because the little ones need it. And God, you've given that as a gift. So God, help us. We need your help. And we give you all the glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.